Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. 12 after, I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Jim Ballard has been with us. He's been here for a long time now. He's actually a 20th century model, I should say. Jim joined us back in 1999 as a member of our Brain Trust. He's been an outstanding, abiding resource for us ever since. He's the author of a number of books, including one of my favorite, What's the Rush, and the co-author of the outstanding world-class book, Well Done, and many, many others. And he's our good friend, Jim Ballard. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. I'm just abiding here, like you say.
You've been an abiding resource and force in our world, Jim, and we appreciate it.
I plan to abide.
That's kind of an old-fashioned word, but I like it, Jim.
I like it, too.
Yeah. Hey, yeah? Jim. One of the things that I've been saying recently, if you remember that song by the group America, I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. We feel like for the last 2 years, a lot of people in the marketplace feel like we've been through the desert on a horse with no name, and now we're ready to come out of the rain. And sometimes that kind of stress that we've had for a couple of years now. And sometimes it seems like there's no end in sight. The economy's still lagging. We're getting so much political stuff that's annoying us. It creates a lot of frustration sometimes. And sometimes that frustration turns into anger, doesn't it?
Well, I don't care what's happening to you, Jim. You named all those things, but I expect people to be happy, and whether they like it or not.
I wish it were that easy, huh?
No, I'll tell you, I like the way that you introduced our subject today, which is blame and anger and how it can hurt a business, because it's understandable. And, you know, why wouldn't people get sore? It's just that sometimes we shoot ourselves when we get sore at other people. I just finished reading a biography of Tommy Dorsey, because
yep.
I used to like his music, and I never realized that he went through so many great, talented musicians that looked up to him because of his standards and his own playing of the trombone. He was an example to everybody, but they couldn't stand him, and they would go off and form their own bands. And you know,
wow.
hundreds of musicians went through Tommy Dorsey's band, and mostly it was because he just he wasn't a fun guy to be around.
They learned from him. They were inspired by him, but they weren't. But they didn't like him.
Exactly right. I mean, they wanted to be there because of what they could learn. And you know, some of our listeners and owners of small businesses that are bosses of other people, it may be that way too. That somebody really wants to be in your company because and around you because of the standards and the talents that you bring. But take a look at whether you might be a little bit like Tommy Dorsey if a lot of them are leaving. I'm thinking about what Ken Blanchard, who has been my mentor for
right.
so many years, used to talk about a syndrome that he saw in businesses that he would call the leave alone zap. And what he
say
meant
that
by
again.
That?
Say that again, Jim.
The leave alone zap.
Leave alone.
What he meant by that is that managers and bosses would leave people alone until they did something wrong, and then they would zap them. In other words, they didn't pay any attention to them. Their attitude was, well, we pay them to do a good job, so why should I, you know, praise or recognize them?
Right.
But boy, they jumped on them when they made a mistake. So if your people only see you or hear from you when you're critical of them, they're not going to stay around very long. That's not a fun place to be.
Well, and I'll tell you something, Jim, and I've said this many times. for decades now, I've seen survey after survey, research after research on why people leave a company, and money is never even in the top three. But the thing that's almost always in the top, on the very top reason, is not being underappreciated or not feeling any connection with the boss.
That's it. We've talked about this before, Jim, and I know you know the little bit or the little story about the difference between the owner or the manager who, when things go wrong, looks out the window at his people and says, "What's wrong with them?" But when things mm-hmm. go really well, looks in the mirror and says, "Aren't I great? Didn't I do a good job?"
Right.
Whereas the effective guy, when things go wrong, looks out the window. When things go wrong, looks in the mirror and says, "What am I doing wrong?" Mm-hmm. And when things go right, looks at his people and says, "Aren't they great?"
Well, that's so, right. And the thing is, folks, all you have to do is to find out which one you are, is to look at your attrition rate, look at your turnover rate.
Yep.
How are you able to keep good people? If you're not, you know, you can think all you want that it's not your fault, but the proof's in the pudding, as my grandmother would have said, Jim. And if you're having a high turnover situation, you might want to look in that mirror a little bit differently.
And you know, it really trickles down to, it costs you not only in attrition, but it costs you with customers too. When I was a kid, I grew up in a town where there were two drugstores, you know, and drugstores were real hangout places. They used to
right.
be soda fountains and places to read funny books until you got kicked out, or a guy showed up and said, "You going to buy those?" And one of the places was real, we hung around all the time because of how it felt in there, you know. The other place, we never wanted to go in because the guy was always yelling at his employees, and we didn't want to be around that. Well, we were customers, or at least potentials. And Barbara and I liked to go to a hotel, really nice hotel up in New Hampshire on the coast in Portsmouth. And it's an amazing place, how we feel as customers there. And mm-hmm. we started asking people who waited on us and made us feel so good, you know, what is it, how do they get you guys? Is it training? Is it that they go out and find the best people? What is it? And they told us, they said, "Nope." They said, it's how we're treated here. We wouldn't work anywhere else.
And you know what, Jim? I have seen that in places myself. And you wonder why someone would stay in that job for all those years, decades maybe, and it's because of what you just said, how they're treated. Folks, take that to heart. Write that down. We're going to take a quick break. Right back with Jim Ballard. I'm Jim Blasingame. 20 after. Stay with us. After the hour, thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of stuff there that will help you with your small business. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter. Check out all the other things there that will help you, regardless of what's going on in your business, regardless of what you do for a living. We got something that will help you there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to take our poll question. Answer our poll question right there on the homepage. And when you click your answer, you'll be able to see how the poll is going so far. Jim Ballard is our guest. He's our good friend, the author of many books, including What's the Rush, including Well Done, including Little Wave and Old Swell. Is that right, Jim?
That's right.
And I don't even have it in front of me, and I remembered that one. So that's how much of an impression Jim and his books make on me. Jim, how do we tell us again how we find you online?
I think it's so important, I forgot what it is.
It's just Jim. It's just your name.
Lifecrafters.com. Sorry.
Lifecrafters.com.
Yeah.
And you can find Jim's books wherever books are sold. And
yeah.
Jim, it's jimballard.com. Don't you have that website too?
I used to have that. I'm not sure that's still up.
You used
up.
To have that. You're really with it here, aren't
it's
you?
It's so important that I forgot.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, we're talking about making sure that I think a lot of times in an unintended way, we let our frustration turn into anger and our anger turn into bad behavior. And I really do believe that for a lot of people, it's just a matter of not being aware of what's happening to them, that the emotions are taking over and that they're not paying attention. And so many times we say things that we don't mean.
I think, you know, it makes me think of those old cartoons where for some reason Elmer Fudd or somebody didn't want to show his anger. So, you know, he'd put on a smile and then he'd say, "I'll be right back." And he'd go in the closet and he'd blow up, you know.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you have to do that. It's if we could give people a little checklist, you know, when they feel the temperature rising, and one of them is, you know, I'm about to blow up at this person, but I don't want to lose this person. And what those guys were saying on the radio the other day is, you know, that could be a reason that I, you know, that people quit on me. And
right.
Number two, I don't want to create an atmosphere in this shop, in this business, where people walk into the store, customers, and they feel this anger because they won't want to come around anymore. I remember that story about that guy with the drugstore that they didn't
yeah.
want, the kids didn't want to go to. So those are two reasons that maybe you can stop. And feel your pulse and feel it, you know, starting to, the storm building, and to say, I don't want to lose my people. I don't want to lose my customers. And,
you know, Jim, I have a little tool that I've recommended before, and it works on so many different things like this. And it's real simple. When I say it's simple, it's pretty simple to do. It's not always simple to make it happen, but that is to sleep on it. And what I found is that the next morning I have a lot clearer picture, and the way I feel about someone or some scenario or whatever it might be that's frustrating me or frightening me or motivating me, I have a much more accurate a way of evaluating my feelings about that.
That's
what do you
great,
think?
Jim. That's great. And you, what you're talking about is find a way to get perspective on things, you know?
Right.
And my way, as you know, is meditation. And I don't think there's ever been a time in the nation's history when meditation was more needed. And meditation,
yeah.
when people say, "Why do you meditate, Jim?" I have a stock answer. I say, it gets you out of your movie. For a little time, you're not in the drama, you know? It's almost like sleep will do that. But you're unconscious, so this is like being asleep awake. And
well, I was going to say, Jim, when I tried meditating once and I fell asleep.
Well, that'll happen. You know, meditation, as they say, is not what you think. In other words, you gotta let go of the thoughts. But when you do that, your world kind of drops away for a while, and you're in this space where the real you is there, the soul. And then when you come
right.
back, you can see sort of things in perspective, like you said, when you sleep on it. So that's,
mm-hmm.
that's just another way to do it. I was going to mention something that happens sometimes with Barbara and me, because
I've got one minute, Jim. Go ahead.
Inevitably, in any relationship, you know, things can get, there can be misunderstandings. But Barbara said something to me recently. She says, you know, that little time that we had, she said, I told you what I felt, you told me what you felt, and nothing was personal. So
mm-hmm.
when everything gets personal, you can't get anything done. Just remember that, you know, it's the problem that you can attack together rather than each other.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, I've had scenarios where I felt like the other person was making me the enemy, and I wasn't the enemy. It was the problem we were dealing with.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good way to say it. Jim, thank you for being here. Good job today. It's always a pleasure. You always get us in the right frame of mind. You help us gain and maintain balance, and that's something we value greatly about your friendship with us.
Well, thank you, Jim. And just remember, don't get on my bad side.
Don't worry. Hey, Jim, thanks for being here. Jim Ballard, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, his books are many, including What's the Rush, including Well Done, including Little Wave and Old Swell. Wherever books are sold, look for Jim Ballard, sometimes James Ballard. I'll take a quick break, 29 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. That I love.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.